Today marks the deadline for Sudan to comply with the United Nations resolution. The UN wants Sudan to disarm Arab militias in its Darfur region or face possible international sanctions. The UN blames those militias for a crisis that has killed thousands of people and driven 1.4 million black African villagers from their homes. Now, the fighting began in Darfur in early 2003, but the roots of this conflict go back much earlier, as NPR's Jason Bobien reports.
Abdul Karim Juma fled from his home 9 months ago. He now lives in a camp on the outskirts of Misteray in western Darfur, near the border with Chad. Goats, cows, and donkeys wander amid the shacks people have built in Misteray. Arab militias killed my four brothers, he says. They took my money and chased me away. I used to have 40 cows and some camels and horses, he says. They've all been taken by these militias. Juma believes Sudanese Arabs, including the ruling government in Khartoum, are trying to drive all the black farmers like him out of Darfur. As a UN helicopter ferries relief supplies to the camp behind him, Juma adds that nomadic Arab herdsmen have been destroying crops in this part of Darfur since the early 1990s. Every harvest season, Juma complains, the Arabs come with their camels and their goats, and they let their herds eat everything we've grown. The spark for the current crisis came 19 months ago. Black rebels, who say Darfur has been marginalized by the central government, launched a separatist movement in February of 2003. The Sudanese government responded with a tactic it had used earlier to fight rebel groups in the south. It armed the enemies of its enemy, exploiting the long-standing tension between Arab nomads and black farmers in Darfur. Khartoum funneled weapons to Arab militias. The militias, which have come to be known as Janjaweed, embarked on a scorched earth policy in Darfur, killing unarmed civilians, raping young girls, often in public, and burning villages to the ground. Juma in the camp in Misteray says the Janjaweed targeted not only the black rebels, but all blacks. The government gave the Arabs weapons, Juma says, told them every black man is a rebel, and then helped them attack us. The government in Khartoum denies backing the Arab militias. Darfur straddles a zone on the continent between the barren desert of the Sahara and the lush green of Central Africa. Abdul Yusuf Ahmed, who worked with the Sudanese Ministry of Agriculture in Darfur for 13 years, says tension between the Arab herdsmen and the black farmers increased dramatically during a long drought in the mid-1980s. Ahmed says the encroaching Sahara Desert in northern Darfur forced the nomads to seek new grazing areas further south.
To find this, it is necessary for them to pass through the farmers' land. So the farmers reject this and try to resist.
This year, the conflict between the Arab nomads and the black farmers escalated into a humanitarian catastrophe. The U.S. Congress has even labeled it genocide. But in Western Sudan, it's not just the members of the black tribes who feel insecure. The UN Special Representative to Sudan, Jan Pronk, has just wrapped up a tour of Darfur. He was doing a final security assessment of the region before the UN deadline for Khartoum to disarm the Janjaweed. One of Pronk's stops was at a ceremonial disarmament of 200 soldiers from the Popular Defense Forces in El Geneina. Technically, the military unit is part of the regular Sudanese army, but it was created and armed specifically to fight the black rebels in Darfur. Although the soldiers deny it, people in the town say the PDF members are all Janjaweed. The commander of the Sudanese army unit, Idris Hassan Ibrahim, told Pronk that he and his men are worried that now that they've turned in their rifles, they'll be attacked by the blacks.
You are the representative, the big man of the United Nations, and we are telling you that since 1965, these people are destroying everything that we have. They are taking our wealth, they are taking our cattle, they are killing continuously, and we don't have anything to defend ourselves.
Despite Commander Ibrahim's fears that his Arab soldiers will be mistreated in Darfur if they lay down their weapons, it's the blacks who are currently cowering in camps across the region. Mike McDonough with the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs says most of the farmers of Darfur won't be able to return to their villages anytime soon, even if they wanted to.
We have a situation where they didn't plant in June, therefore there's no harvest in November. We hope, if all goes well, that they might be back home by next June with seeds and tools, plant in June, and the best case scenario is that we would have a harvest with everybody back home by November 2005. Best case scenario.
That best case scenario assumes that black farmers will feel it's safe enough to return to their villages by next spring, something that many of them say is impossible. At a camp called Mornay in western Darfur, 70,000 people have sought shelter in a town that originally held just 5,000. Ismail Mohammed Aya moved into a straw shack in Mornay a year ago with 9 other members of his family. He says if he returns to his village, he'll be killed. Aya says he'll only go back if there are international peacekeepers in Darfur because he no longer believes the Sudanese government will protect him. Who brought us here, he asks. The government. So we don't trust the government. And until some level of trust is rebuilt among the government, the farmers, and the nomadic herdsmen in Darfur, this long simmering conflict remains a long way from being resolved. Jason Beaubien, NPR News, Khartoum.